is a good point.
In the case of the time here, the people said that we will want to have a human as all other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all other nations would accept the form of the human.
Warning, you should warn them. Mm-hmm. Type of thing than you know, swearing in, as it were. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, yeah, Bryce was vindicated then, huh? Solemnly. The way he's been telling us is he looked it up and kind of religious. No. Real well. Right. Okay, we want to finish lesson 52. Let's first, though, decide on some dates here for quizzes. We're with 52, we're going to be set up for another quiz. So we'll have vocab, and that would take us 49 to 52. And we could do it. What days are working out best for us? Tuesdays, Wednesdays, or Thursdays? We're talking about next week for the vocab and the week after for the grammar. Or translation. How's Thursday sound for all of you? Thursday sound okay? Okay. Okay, we'll make the vocab next Thursday and the grammar and translation the Thursday following. And what's the date that we're looking at? This is the 24th, 31st. Oh, yes, that's right. That's right, the Greek, that's why I didn't want to have it on Thursday. Now the grammar one we could put on Wednesday, we can keep the vocab on. Okay, we'll make that one on Wednesday. That'll split that. Now the grammar on the Wednesday of the following week. And who's got a calendar? Is this today 24th? 25th? 24th, so be the 31st then. If there's 31 days in January, isn't it? I don't remember doing the rhyme there. Okay, so Thursday the 31st, and then the next Wednesday should be probably the 6th February. Yeah, that's right, because it was the 7th for Greek. Okay, so that's that. Lesson 52, and we left off, we finished verse 9 in our translation, so verse 10 is up next. John, do you want to take that? Or who left off yesterday? Does anybody remember? Can pick up where we left off. Maybe it was John anyway. Oh, did we do 10?
Well, I was thinking ahead and I was...
Oh.
I was a kid, right? I remember I did a reading over
9, 10,
11,
12. I've got 10 at work. So I did 8.
You did 8?
We're on 10. Okay, so we must. All right, so 10 must be up, huh? Okay, Eric, go ahead. Don't take volunteers. Okay. To the people asking from him a king, the people who were asking from him a king. In other words, it's a participle, modifying people. Okay, and it's kind of interesting, too. You have ha'am is singular, and then you have sha'alim is plural. So you have a mix right there. You know, and what you're seeing is a particularization of the group. And so the people, the ones which were asking him for from him a king. We've seen that before with, at least with verbs, we've seen it take plural verb forms and singular verb forms. Kind of depends on whether you're looking at the individuals or the whole group as a unit. Okay. But it's not a mistake in the by the Holy Ghost in Hebrew grammar here. Okay, verse 11, Price.
Vayomer Zeh Yehiyeh Mishpat Hamelech Asher Yimalok of Aleikin Es Aleikin Ekak Vashan Lo Father Father Ka. Oh.
Okay, but Merkavso. But Merkavto, excuse me, but Merkavto. Okay.
Love Va Rashao.
The Farashao.
Where about two? The name Merkavto.
Okay. Yeah, just Merkavto. Got two. You don't very often see two closed syllables in a row. Merkavto. So that's kind of a cute word. Okay, go ahead.
He said, "This is the judgment of the kings that will reign." This is the judgment of the kings that will reign over you. He will take your son, and he will place for him in his chariot and in his horses, and they will run to the presence of his chariot.
Okay, run in the presence of his chariot, sir. Before his chariots, you might say too, in terms of a progression like that. Okay, and this will be, or this is the judgment, literally. By this judgment, we mean. Not talking about the judgment that this king will incur or something like that. It means that this is the kind of judgment that this king is going to have. This is the kind of mindset he's got, the kind of way that he thinks and gives judgments. So it's kind of dealing with the manner in which he judges. So this will be the judgment of the king, which will rule over you. He will take your sons and put for him in his chariots. You might say translate in as among. Put for himself among his chariots, or maybe in this case you could say in, you know, placing them in his chariots and among his horsemen. Since when you've got plural and you've got in a plural thing, it's usually got the idea of within that group or among it. So put for himself among his chariots and among his horsemen, and they shall run before his chariots. Or in the what do you have in the presence of his chariots? Yeah, that's the idea, but it's probably. It's probably in a militaristic sense. It's before. Lifnei is used in several ways. It's used before in the sense of time. You know, if this event occurred before this event. And the English does the same thing. Before, we can talk about he was before all things in the sense of preeminence or in the sense of time. And so the same thing happens. It happens in Greek, too. So so he shall run before his chariots might be better in this instance because it's talking about the processions and the armies. You know. Okay. So it looks like he's talking about a military progression where some of them are in chariots riding behind and then the horsemen are out in front. Okay, verse 12. Doug. This kind of continues the previous sentence in a way, but...
Rashun,
Continue to roll. Continue to roll. Yeah, right. Wula has sold. Yeah, literally what you've got is an infinitive construct of the preposition lama here started off. So to a point, you know, something like that. But he's advocating a gerund type of translation, you know, continuing the subpointing for appointing them. That'd be fine, I think.
Explaining to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Octaves of hundreds and octaves of fifties.
Yeah, appointing them as officers. You might even put as there because the them is appointing for himself as, you know, he's referring to the, he's going to take your sons and do this to them. So you might say appointing for himself as officers, referring back to the sons, appointing for himself officers, 1,000 officers of 50s, and that is from among the sons. So it's following that, yeah. Yeah, that's about it. Plowing his land to be plowed, yeah. In other words, plowing all the land that he needs plowed.
And for harvesting
his
harvest. Mm-hmm. And for,
I'm not sure if it's a couple of words that you can say. I just meant to do a big vessel. We're making the vessels of the treasury. Mm-hmm. That's a literal. You probably want to, the Kali can be translated as a weapon if it's a, vessel of warfare, you know, in other words, it's not a clay pot, but it's a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unless you're Gideon. Yeah. Yeah, making instruments of his warfare, of his battle, and instruments of his chariotry. Yeah, of his chariots. Okay, kind of technical language in some of this. It's not real.
Is that really referring to making implements?
Yeah, making, right. Making implements of warfare and implements of chariotry.
Is that
yeah, the whole thing is following this gerund type of expression. You just keep using these infinitives. You start off with will assume to start with, and that's your appointing, and then we've got willach rosh there for the plowing. That's another, you know, same construction, and reaping his crops, willach tzor, and then willach asoth, just a whole series of these prepositional lamoth with the infinitive. So it's just constant parallel constructions. So all of those are applying to your sons. That's what he's going to do to your sons. He's going to appoint them for himself as officers of 1,000 and officers of 50s. He's going to have them plowing his land to be plowed, reaping his crops, making vessels of weapons of his warfare, weapons of his chariotry. So all the things he's going to have them do. Okay. Yes. Question there? That's pretty literal. You know, they're obviously both from the same words. So, to plow is plowing. Just plow is land to be plowed. I don't know what else you call it. We don't have another word. In other words, if you could find a different word for it, that's what they probably would have used in a translation in English. Because we just don't like to do that. It sounds redundant in English to use the same word in the verb as you use in the noun for. But in Hebrew, it's very common to do that. So if you get used to Hebrew idiom, it's no problem. But in English, you know, they say, what do you mean plowing his land to be plowed, you know? Just say plow his land or something. Reap his crops. Don't say reap his reapings, you know, or harvest or something. Harvest is harvest. And but that's the way Hebrew is expressing it.
Would a good image ever be to plow his furrow land?
Yeah, that might be. I'm not sure. I'm not a farmer, so I'm not an expert on what they call it, you know.
I'm sure you got the best land.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm sure. And but reaping his crops, you might say, if you want to make an English sound a little bit better, reaping his crops, and you know, his harvest means the crop that he's harvesting. So, reaping his crops, making weapons of war, his warfare, and so forth. Okay, verse 13. Then, who's up next? Go ahead, Peter. Okay.
And your daughters he will take for perfumers and cooks and bakers.
Yes, and your daughters will he take for perfumers and cooks and bakers. Okay. And verse 14, John. Okay. Your daughters he will take. All right.
14.
Mm-hmm.
Boaz. Sidonikem. Boaz. Carmekem.
Mm-hmm.
Wizidikem. Hatovim.
Mm-hmm.
Chikak. Gunathan. Laavdao. And your fields and your vineyards and your olive tree, your good olive tree,
mm-hmm.
he will take.
Mm-hmm.
The PL too. And give for his servants.
Okay, and give, yeah, for his servants or to his servants. Either four or two here.
Oh, I see.
Could be just an indirect object. Could be four also. It kind of depends on whether he's giving them in their charge or whether he's going to keep them and use them for the benefit of them. Okay, and your fields and your vineyards and your good olive trees, or your olive trees, the good ones, is kind of got, that's the way you would normally say good, but the picture seems to even be more emphatic, you see. Your olive trees, the good ones, probably means the best ones. And he will take and give to his servants. So he's painting a pretty good picture here. Then I can take all your olive trees, just the good ones. All right. Verse 15, any other questions there? Your fields and your vineyards and your good olive trees, he will take to, and give to his servants or for his servants. All right, 15, Tony?
Karmechem.
Yeah. Those vocal and silent she was to get to be troublesome after a while.
Yes, true.
Okay, let's see, Lissarisau. Yeah, Lissarisau.
I'm busy working on that ending.
Right.
Ending that I just left out there.
Walla. Walla. Okay, Walla Avadau. That's a Oz. Walla Avadau. Some of these, yeah. Well, you know what? The publications gave me a little thing. They wanted me to transliterate some Hebrew for them because they're going to use it on Tongues on Trial to show how languages sound like gibberish. You know, sounds like baby talk. You know. And so there's a point, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. The way it is in Hebrew is just kind of like that, ah, la, la, you know, it's just, and it's repetition. And they just wanted to use that. They wanted to get a transliteration so they could print that and say, this is real languages. It will sound like gibberish sometimes, especially Hebrew, I guess. Okay.
Somebody ought to send him a note on that thing since Terry knew me from a long time ago. Remember him giving that thing with, I think it was the Korean language that came out.
Oh, yeah. I think it was Tom Konopka, wasn't it? He did it in front of the church, yeah.
Yeah, he did it in front of the church. Mm. He gave us an example.
Yeah.
Attaching to it.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, translation.
Yeah, I'm moving right along here.
And their seed, and their vineyard, and their seeds, and their vineyard.
Yeah, it was yours, though, and your seeds and your vineyards. See, the chem is your, second person. And your seeds and your vineyards.
Says he will attack the temple.
Okay, yeah. He'll tithe you. He'll tax you. Interesting way to use a transitive verb, you know, making tithe into a transitive verb.
You're not giving your tithe now. Mm-hmm.
Tithe. Yeah, right. You shall be tithe. Like it or not. Okay, the implication is taxation. That Quigley's going to take a tenth.
And will give to his officers,
mm-hmm.
and his
servants. Okay. And your seeds and your vineyards he shall tithe and give to his eunuchs or officers and his servants. Okay, they gave you both for that saris, I think. Probably, yeah, if it's Israel. Right. Okay. 16, Eric.
Ma'ed, Abdechem, Ma'ed, Shibhopeichem, Ma'ed, Bakureichem, Atobin, Ed, Ma'ed, Amoreichem, Itam, Ma'atam, Limlachto.
Yeah, Limlachto. It's a little tricky there with the Gwias and Aleph, but Limlachto. Okay.
And your sermon, and your maid sermon.
Yeah, maid, the second was maidservants, yeah. So you're... yeah, it's a similar... Well, Hamor, there's Hamor, there's maybe another one. Yeah, right, the female was something... I can't remember the female one, the male one was Hamor.
And your young man, and your good young man,
mm-hmm.
and your donkey, you will take. He will use and will do his work.
Yeah, you might say, and he will use, because you got the preposition lama than the next, so you might say he will do for his own work, or the idea is used for his own work. Mm-hmm. See, this asa is getting a lot of different translations, but it's governed by the other words around it. So I would say, in this case, I would say, you know, he's going to do it, he will take and do for his own work. Or we might say use for his own work. Or make them to be for his own work, you know. He's kind of placing, make them to his own work. In other words, he's not creating them, but he's implementing them for his own work. And so that's coming from asa plus the preposition lama following. Okay, so repeat it again. Your men servants or just servants. This is kind of either, since you've got maid servants following, they often translated men servants and maid servants to get a contrast. If you just saw Evid though by itself, you could either be a man or a woman. Again, it'd be, if it's plural group, you know, you'd probably use that term too. But your men servants and your maid servants and your good young men and your he asses he will take and use for his own work. Okay. Well, they had it good back there. Now we get 20% take taxation plus, you know. And then you have your tithe on top of that. You're. Yeah, that's true. But I don't anticipate ever having an income like that. Okay. 17. Who's next?
The Lord says, because you have not desired riches, there will be not only riches, but riches.
Okay. You got a short one, Bryce.
Donna Kim. Yah Sor.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of a funny one because technically you'd probably call it Yah Sor and then stop it there because of the short vowel. But an ayin, you see, an ayin, if it's going to be vocal, it has to have a chatef pathach. Remember, it can't take shua. So you'd have to consider this a short, I mean, consider this a silent under these circumstances. So Yah Sor.
Yah Sor.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tithulo, probably. Tithulo.
Okay.
La Abadim. Yeah. Transition.
Take a tenth of your flock, and he will be in the city.
Okay, he will take a tenth of your flock, or your flock he will tithe, and you will become servants to him. Yeah. Or you will become his servants.
You took that the tenth as a verb?
Yes, you could either take... See, if you take it... there's no S there, so it probably wouldn't be needed that way. It's kind of peculiar. It's how you treat an object, whether you treat... It's he will tithe, or he will take a tenth, and then you have to almost say, of your flock. Or if you say tithe and make it a transitive verb, you might call it, he will tithe your flock, and treat that as an object, even though there's no F marker on it.
Would taking a tenth of your flock be okay?
Yeah, he will take a tenth of your flock. That'd be fine. And the of is kind of in parentheses, you know, it's not really stated. Or you could say your flock he will tithe if you want to make that. Use the old English. Okay. Verse 18, Doug. Because of a contrast, but Yahweh shall not answer you in that day. Okay, and you will cry out in that day from before your king, which you have chosen for you, for yourself, but Yahweh will not answer you in that day. Okay. Verse 19, Peter.
Vayum ma'anu ha'am lishmoa b'kol Shemuel vayum ru lo'im in melech yiyya alim.
Okay. Translation?
No. And the people refused to hearken to the voice of Samuel. And they said, I'm not sure what they said. Not that. If a king be over
it. Okay. Yes. And they said, you could either just say lo, you know, and they said no, but a king shall be over us. The M there.
Perhaps no, because if a king will be over, then of course it's going on to the next Friday. Next.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
The will on the next one, I see, must mean then.
But if the king be over us, then we shall be like all the nations.
No, because they're making some sort of.
Could be a reply, and they're giving some reasons, you know. You know, no, they just sweep that all across the table, off the table, you know, no. And then now they give their reasons. But if a king, that's a possibility. Most of the translations don't do it that way, but. That's what I was thinking of, because, you know, if the punctuation be accurate, you know, where they stop it right here, then you'd probably be looking at something like that. Woe be to me and more if the king shall be over us or something. No, you know.
If the king shall not be over
us. Right, if the king shall not, yeah, that's right, if the king shall not be over us. No, but a king shall be over us is the way that I think most many of the translations put it. I'm going to leave you some latitude on this because it is pretty ambiguous. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the key, the but comes from the key. Yeah. The M, yeah, that's just kind of ignored, I suppose. I'm not sure what to do with this. I kind of like, see, it would seem to fit to run into the rest of it, because it seems like they're giving a reply now, and in the next verse they're going to give some reasons why, you know, and we shall be also ourselves like all the nations, you know. Their excuse is that if the king's over us, we should be like the other nations. You might check on M and see if they give you anything else for it in the dictionary. They just give you if, is that all? I suspect we're...
Mm-hmm. I know it can be used in that sense of
that. Well, you know what we might be able to do with this? Key M by itself. Remember that phrase, key M? That means except, you know, or unless. And I think that maybe it's probably got something to do with that. It's kind of an idiomatic thing. And we might try to find a key M, unless except, but rather. Okay, except that, or but rather.
No, but rather the king shall be over.
Yeah.
And we'll be again.
That's probably what we're looking at there. No, but rather a king shall be over us. That way, cutting off the sentence there will fit right. I think the kind of thing that I didn't see at first, when they put the makef with the M, kind of tied the M with the other word, and you kind of looked at key separately, but key M, I think, is what you need to be looking at here. So no, but rather a king shall be over us. And then verse 20 continues on with the reason, you know, what the result will be. Yes?
Up to this point, I think whenever we see lo, the gating has always been attached to a verb. I've never seen it.
Just by itself as a response? Yeah. No? Yeah.
Is it there or is it adverbial?
Well, it could be considered adverbial, I suppose. Any response, yes or no, affirmative or negative. We really haven't seen it much in conversation like this, though. Just a blatant no like that, you don't usually see. So, I don't think they do give no for it, not or no in the back, so I think that's the way that they're using it. We just haven't seen it very much. You usually don't see this kind of a brazen attitude here. It's really incredible when you think about it, though. I mean, such an obvious case, their desires. You give them all these reasons, and they just say no, you know. And many times that I've dealt with people, you know, in counseling or something like that, where you give them all the reasons and then they still say, just say no and wipe it off the table as if he didn't even say it. Okay. But rather a king shall be over. So I think that'd be the best way to render it here. Okay, and then verse 20. Who's up next? I forgot where we are. John? Okay.
Wuhayinu gam anaknu kukol hagoyim Kushapatanu, Mankenu, Wiyanta, Lebnenu, Wenilkam, et Milchamotenu. And for them, we also will be as all the nations, and our king will judge and go forth before our face, for our faces, and fight our battles.
Okay, good. Yeah, and we shall be also like all the nations, or the we's got a strong emphasis because of that anachnu there. So you could either do it by putting a we, you know, intonation when you're speaking it, or we also ourselves or something like that, you know, put a reflexive pronoun or something like that in there just to get it strong, or put an underline in there, we or something. And we shall be also, or we shall be also like all the nations. And our king shall judge us and shall go out before us and fight our battles. Okay.
That Malkenu, that is the obvious sentence, right? Judge us.
Malkenu, yes. Well, yes, that's the our king. That would be our king. And the judges, Shafat, you know, Shafatanu. Malkenu is Melech with the plural, first person plural suffix. So our, and that's the subject. Our king shall judge. So it shall judge us. So there you've got your Shafat plus your suffix, Shafatanu. Shafatanu, he shall judge us. So our king, he shall judge us.
Our judge
will
rule over us.
Well, yeah. Just change the vowel points around, maybe you can get that out of it. Our judge shall rule over us. Yeah, you probably do it just with vowel points here. And you'd have to do something with the wood there, too, probably. Well, no, you still can leave that. Okay.
F's floating around in there.
No. They seem to be very bereft of F's here lately.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's common in speech.
It may be in speech and in kind of depending on the agitation of the person speaking or the excitement involved or something like that. Just trying to blurt it out, maybe that may be a factor. It would be interesting to study that.
Yeah, it would be a thing to say F when we ought to be
there. Oh, yeah. Yeah, really. It probably started getting streamlined out. They do have one at the end here, though. So, fight our battles.
When you are talking, you can, by your inflection of your voice, you can specify the power to get
fight. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that may be part of it too. Is in speech when you're in conversation, might be a good theory to propose. Is to watch, find the places where F's are missing. That, you can imagine what how difficult that would be to find. The only way you could do it is read through it all. Even the computer program would be a hard press for that. You know, because how do you decide whether a noun is an object? You know. yeah. No thanks. I wouldn't want to program that one. Yeah. That may be why none of the books discuss this. They just say sometimes the F isn't there. So I know why they say it that way. Okay. The only way you might do it is to look at a person who's speaking modern Hebrew and ask them, why don't you use F sometimes? But that may not necessarily reflect what was happening in the biblical times. Right. Okay, any other questions on the translation there? Verse 21. Tony?
Vayishma, Samuel, Beth.
Oh. Eighth.
I said eighth.
Oh, okay.
I said
eighth,
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, you've got to watch.
Next word. I just realized that too well.
Good point.
I kind of Oh.
No, it must be coal.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
So what's that other thing doing down there?
Well, that one down there is what you normally see. You normally see Kamaskat Tooth, and here they got both Holum and Kamaskat Tooth on the same thing.
So which one do we want?
Well, take either one. You're going to pronounce it pretty much the same.
Okay.
That's funny. That must be just a typo. Somebody ought to check the text and see what it says there. You got a text handy? Check 1 Samuel 8:21. And see which one it is so you can make the correction in your
text.
Yeah. Maybe they have both of them in the text, too. And that's the reason didn't want to change it.
Anyway,
sacred mistake.
Devarei Ha'am.
It's going to be vocal, so why you dabarein? Got the bass there.
And then we got
de Osne. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Osne. That's from Ozen.
Oh.
Kamaskat Tooth again.
No Methag,
yeah.
Did it have that off?
Which one did it have? Is it just a comment?
Scratch the colon.
Okay. That's what I figured. Sometimes you do see a long colon, but not very often in this guy.
Okay. And Samuel heard all of the people's words.
Right. Mm-hmm. The words.
Oh, yeah.
Not the people.
Yeah. That's the idea. He spoke the words. To them. In the ears of the hour.
Okay. You don't need to them. The them is the words. So he, and he spoke them in the ears of Yahweh. See, the aim there at the end is a suffix for the words. So he spoke them. He spoke the words. So what you've got is a PL verb, deber, with the suffix. So they spoke, he spoke them in the ears of Yahweh. So when Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he spoke them in the ears of Yahweh.
I think we should stand to speak a directive.
Mm-hmm.
Or
to someone, yeah, or speak toward, or to.
Expecting that.
Yep, that's probably what it was. Okay, 22. Eric, finish it out. Okay.
Know that you are Samuel. Listen to the voice, to their voice.
Mm-hmm.
And you shall cause a king to rule over them. And I said to the men of Israel, go every man to his own city.
Okay. Good. And Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to their voice and cause to rain. And this cause to rain, you probably want to make what you've got is an imperative followed by converted imperfects. And so you're going to, or converted perfects. And so you probably want that series, do this and then this and then this. So you might say, and Yahweh said to Samuel, listen to their voice and then cause to rain. You might want to put the then in there. And then cause to rain over them a king. And Samuel said to the men of Israel, go each one to his city or to his own city. Okay, any questions there? All right. That'll bring us into lesson 53, some more of these object suffixes. Maybe before we go further, I'll just give you what the assignment is so you'll know what it is. But I suspect it'll probably take the hour. Well, we'll probably get started with it at least. Why don't you, we'll have to do some scanning of the chapter, but this is just pretty much more forms. On part A, do 1, 8, and 15. Same with parts B and C. 1, 8, and 15 and all those. So part A, 1, 8, and 15. Part B, 1, 8, and 15. Part C, 1, 8, and 15. And then the reading all, nothing in D. And we've got a few minutes here, so we can at least get started looking at this chapter. All this chapter entails is some more suffixes on the perfect, and it'll finish out the perfect forms, and then the next chapter will deal with object suffixes on the imperfect. Okay, the first category, section 188, object suffixes on the perfect, third person, feminine, singular. Now, the problem that we have here is that third person, feminine, singular ends in a comma te. And so in comma te is one of those things that's hard to know. Whether you call that a vowel or you call that a consonant or what? So to avoid the problem of figuring out what to call it, they just change it to a tau. And now we know what to call it as far as the rest of it. I'm sure that's not the reason they did it, but that's one way to think of it. The feminine ending a is replaced by ot or at, either with a comma or with a patak, before the pronominal suffixes, which have the forms given in column C, section 184. So this is what we're doing. We're going to either make it a patak tau or a comets tau. And some of them have comets tau, and just a couple of forms comets tau, and the rest have patak tau. And once you make it a tau, then you can add suffixes as if it were a consonant. And this one gets the consonant suffixes in the column C, which were these unstressed. So they're not drawing the accent. The accent still staying on that last syllable of the stem. So we get patterns as follows. We've got for shamar, again, using the verb shamar, we get shimarafni. Shimarafni for she observed me. Shimarafka. And this one you're going to go ahead and make that a silent schwa because the suffix is technically just the ka. So it's not shimarafka, but shimarafka. And shimarafek. And shimarafek, notice that in this one you do get the comments there under the resh. In other words, what's happened, the way they would explain this is one where it changed to comments tau rather than bathak tau. So those, that one and your third person, the one with the third person suffix on it are the ones to watch in that respect. Okay, then for she observed him, we've got two options here, Shimarathu or Shimarato. Make that hard again, Shimarato. And she observed her, Shimarata, you get the dagation of the tau before the comments say there.
Is that supposed to be
Shimarato
or
Shimaratu? Oh, Shimaratu, excuse me. I mispronounced it. Shimaratu.
But they gave it the option of
four and one, didn't they? Well, let's see. Let's look back at that suffix.
No, this
one is, yeah, just Shurek. So when you had your post-consonantal stressed ones, it was Cholom Wow. This one's Shurek. So look, compare your column A to your column C.
Okay.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you brought that up because that could be easily mistaken. I did the same thing, just reading it and not. Okay, and then she observed us, Shimarathnu, and she observed them, Shimaratham. And notice on the them one, they also get the comments on the resh. Apparently not. Yeah, apparently not. They didn't have it for the earlier ones either. For the second person, you know, you've got plurals for us and them, but not for you. Maybe they just never used. Okay, peculiar features of this paradigm are one, the restoration of the full vowel comments in the pretonic positions. So in other words, the verb started out, shamar, started out with the comments in the first syllable and a pathak in the second syllable. And in these forms, you're getting a restoration. I don't know why you want to call it a restoration necessarily, but in other words, it's going from a pathak to a full comments on that second letter of the verb. And that's one feature. Now, that's probably a relatively minor one as far as recognition is concerned. And then the other point is the assimilation of pathak tau and hey shurek, and pathak tau and hey comets to atu and ata, respectively.
So the full vowel is not used in the paradigm.
The Cholam Wow? No, that's not. No. Just Shurik. Just Shurik, or the Who, or the just the U, one of the two. And what he's saying here is that if you have the Who, you get Atu. Okay. Well, that's a good point. It looks like they did place both forms down there, but it looks like he's giving preference to Atu. And then with the other one, the Ata, he just put one form down. So that's kind of interesting. I don't know if he's saying that sometimes it assimilates. In other words, peculiar features. This isn't worded real well as far as deciding for sure, since he puts both forms down with the Who and the Atu. It's a little bit ambiguous whether he means down here assimilation occurs always or just sometimes. I suppose I would have to interpret it as sometimes it's assimilating. But see, back there in the column C, they give you both endings, so I would guess that both forms do occur.
I don't understand what
you're talking
about
with the second part there. Okay. Well, let's see. Are you dealing with the assimilation of at plus who? Is that the problem you're having?
No, the other one.
Oh, the second one. At plus ha. Okay, you probably wouldn't even see that one, but in the third person, in the third person feminine singular, the suffix for the vocalic ones was ha. But here it's ah. So he's calling that an assimilation also. Actually, I don't think you need to even worry about statement number two if you just learn the endings. If you just learn the ones that go on here. Learn that column C, and that really kind of includes that. So he's just making an observation of what happened to get those endings. And what happened was that apparently a ha that originally existed got changed to a sound. So I don't know beyond that what to say. I think you just learn the endings as they are, and you'll have it. Yeah. He does tend to get kind of, his wording gets kind of bad here. There's another area in this chapter that's really poor, kind of poor. I don't know if he was getting near the end of the book and was getting weary or something, but it does seem to be kind of a breakdown here in some of the wording. And then in the last chapter, he's got just a blatant liberal statement that you can just X out of your book if you want. Yeah. It gets into the JEPD theory and stuff, so we'll have fun with that in chapter 55. Did the bell ring? No, it hadn't. Okay. Never trust that clock. All right. So I think the easiest thing there is just to not worry about statement number two and just learn the endings. He's trying to explain to you how the endings arose, apparently. That's the only thing I can figure out on it. And so I wouldn't even worry about it. Then a survey of extant forms below here for these third-person feminine singular ones, and you're probably not going to see as many of those in general anyway, just because you're not as often talking about women. I don't know if we need to go through that chart. You can pretty much see what's happening. There's not many complications, though, as far as... Well, because of the fact that you're changing the comma te to a pathak tau, once you do that, the thing's pretty regular. You know, you're just adding onto a consonant, and you don't have... quite the complications we've had in the past. Okay. And object suffixes on the remaining forms of the perfect section 189, then. These offer no new problems other than the alterations in the form of a subject suffix. So what we're going to see here is, again, a change in the subject suffix. And that may make a little bit of a problem in that you're used to a certain set of suffixes, and now you're going to see a slight change in that. It's not a dramatic change, but then it's in order to make it vocalic in the end, and then you just add the vocalic endings. So we'll stop there. But second person feminine singular ending, normally a tau goes to tau here at yod, so you've got a vowel to carry it through there. Part of that is because that you get a lumping of consonants at the end. Remember the second person feminine. It's that double schwa thing in the end. And if you start to put something else on top of that, you're going to get three consonants in a row. So I think that's part of the reason why they made a change.
Yeah.